All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right, what's happening, people? Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. And I know I say that every week about every guest, but this person actually is. He does two really cool things. He's the director at the Range of Motion, which he's going to tell us all about. And he also runs the Perth Fitness Business Summit. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only Mr. Dan Williams.
Dan, Jono, thank you for having me. Excited to be on board.
No, I'm excited to have you on. Let's dive into it a little bit deeper. I just said you're the director of Range of Motion. Do you want to let us know what that is, what you do there, and also the Perth Fitness Business Summit? Let us know what that is and what you do over there.
So Range of Motion, we in about 2 months, actually, we're about to celebrate our 18th birthday. So my little business is finally grown up and I'll be able to take it out for its first legal drink. Range of Motion, basically, as I said, I started 18 years ago when I was 21, which I guess dates me. And I started it straight out of uni as a vehicle to be able to prescribe individualized health to people. So my background's in exercise physiology. I graduated uni, graduated my postgrad, and started Range of Motion, all one-on-one work. We have a team of around 12 staff, exercise physiologists, personal trainers, physiotherapists, exercise scientists all across the board. And we're based over in Perth in Western Australia. So the business has evolved over time. As you mentioned as well, we also have the 2024 Perth Fitness Business Summit coming up soon, which is at the end of this financial year. It's an event that we've run previously. This is our third time running the event, and we've had other iterations of the event as well. I also work as a business mentor. I'm the director of a digital marketing agency, which works with people outside of the health and fitness industry. And then I try and keep things interesting by playing with other little business ideas and minimal viable products as I go. So that's, I guess, the backstory.
Ooh, okay, a lot going on there. Let's dive into, let's maybe start with Range of Motion. So you started 18 years ago, mainly one-on-one, you mentioned. Maybe tell us that. What did that look like? Did you have a studio? Were you working out of a gym, a physio practice? Run us through kind of that journey, how you started that. And then run us through what's it like at the moment? You've got a facility at the moment. What's the Range of Motion now?
Yeah, I'll talk you through the evolution. So I finished my postgrad year at uni, still didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I went into honors, and as I was studying honors, I was offered a job to head up the rehab division at a gym in the western suburbs of Perth. So I'd be in charge of people with chronic conditions, etc. And I did that. And as I was doing that, I started up Range of Motion, realized that there was only time for so many things. So I dropped honors, having already done a postgrad anyway. It wasn't a huge value add. Started Range of Motion one day a week. We were basically based in the CBD in the middle of Perth, and we had consult rooms that we leased off a gym. So at the time, it was very hands-on. And looking back now, obviously we learn and we evolve. It was not the best approach. It was very hands-on. It was a passive form of rehab. It was pure clinical work. Mm-hmm. And over time, what we came to realize was that to help people's knees, it wasn't about lying them on their back on a bed and trying to teach them to activate their VMOs under no strain. It was about teaching them how to squat properly. If we were trying to help people with their shoulders, it wasn't about standing there with a TheraBand for 12 hours a day. It was teaching them how to be in strong overhead positions. So we evolved from basically being in this consult room out into the gym floor itself, into what's effectively a hybrid between rehab and exercise. I hate to use the word functional exercise, but exercise that emulates what people do every day. Because ultimately, we are trying to help people exercise to improve their capacity to do life, whatever life may be. Mm-hmm. And to do this, we came up with what we at the time called the Range of Motion model of health. And this has been the through line of our business all the way. If you picture a wagon wheel with a whole bunch of spokes on it, each one of those spokes is going to represent a different element of someone's health or fitness. So you can have physical measures like strength or power or cardiorespiratory endurance. You can have more health-based metrics, resting blood glucose levels or heart rate or blood pressure. And our basic contention was that if there was a broken spoke on this wagon wheel, just like an old school wagon wheel on a cart, that wheel would stop turning. Now, if you're a pro footy player, the wheel stopping turning means you miss the goal, you don't break the tackle, you don't take the mark. If you're someone living with type 2 diabetes, a broken wagon wheel could lead to end-stage heart failure, could lead to amputation. And ultimately, if there are spokes missing from a health perspective, it can lead to a shortened quality of life, a shortened health span. So that's been the through line all the way through. We've moved through multiple premises. At the moment, we're based in a suburb called Osborne Park in Perth, and we have a facility that is set up for health professionals. And again, as I mentioned, exercise physiologists, physios down to personal trainers, to be able to come in and work individually and one-on-one with their clients. And we don't have classes. It's not an open gym model. It is purely individualized prescription because our belief is this model of health, this wagon wheel, is so individualized to the person. Everyone should have their programming, their approach individualized as well. And that's the point we're at now, where whereas I'm relatively hands-off in the business, obviously the systems have been built over almost two decades. I do still keep my toe in the water with some exercise physiology work. I'll do some work with NDIS clients and some clients who I've had sort of a decade plus who I couldn't get rid of even if I wanted to. And that's where the business is today.
Couple questions there. When you said you've got people, you've got health professionals, fitness professionals that come in and use the facility, these are employees, these are contractors, they work for you. How does that, what does that kind of look like?
Yeah, great question. And we've gone through all of those variations. So we, in the past, have had employees, we have had contractors, and the business model we've moved towards now, and this is a little bit of an out-of-the-box approach, but it's something that we have found is working really, really well for us now. We now see the clients of range of motion not as the gym members, in inverted commas, but our clients are the health professionals. So we exist to provide an environment and a structure where health professionals can bring their own business. And this means that if we have a PT or an exercise physiologist and they're coming in to use our facility, we are offering them support, we're offering them a facility, we're offering them marketing, we're offering them mentorship, we're offering them internships, and a whole range of things that we can do to improve our capacity to improve them as health and fitness professionals.
That's great.
It means instead of spending our time trying to work out whether a lead form ad or organic marketing or a mailing list or retargeting, or instead of spending our time trying to bang our head against the wall and get more clients, which, as you and I both know, is the biggest pain point that most fitness professionals have.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do that, we can spend our time trying to actually be really good. Instead of standing on the street corner and saying, hey, we're really, really good, come in, we can focus on the people who are operating from our facility, and our business model is earning money from them.
Yeah.
So we don't earn a cent from the people who are doing exercise. Gosh. All of our income comes from the people who are prescribing the exercise to others.
Yeah, okay. So there's not even like a membership there for the consumer.
No, there isn't.
Yeah. And what the consumer pays their health or fitness professional, that's between them. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha. And the
exactly
health or fitness professional pays you a weekly fee, monthly fee to, which kind of sounds like a hybrid of a kind of not an internship, more like a kind of mentorship
plus yes
the facility. Is that what that's like?
Exactly right. I have my brother who's involved in the business as well. So he's our operations manager. And between he and I, we are looking to provide an experience for the health and fitness professionals that makes them understand and believe that this is the best place for them to be, for them to grow their business in conjunction, holding our hand. So we are able to guide them through this. I do a lot of business mentoring. It's probably, in terms of the billable hours, at least the highest slice of my pie.
Yeah.
So I'm able to then help to mentor these people and build their business and hopefully eventually move them to the place where they are able to either open their own facility or go further in another capacity.
Gotcha. Awesome. All right, that's cool. Well, explain for me now the Perth Business Summit. Where did that start? How did that start? Why did that start?
Well, I think it started like anything starts, and that's identifying an issue. It's identifying a problem that needs solving. So for the last 6 years, I've been working with a lot of health and fitness professionals. I cap my list at 30 people at a time. So I do a lot of mentoring where I work with people either once a week or once a fortnight. And I'm basically on call to them to be able to help them improve their businesses, whether that be in operations or staff management or marketing or any of these other areas that we're looking to improve our business. And a lot of the same problems were coming up again and again. It's the 80-20, right? Mm. 20% of the problems in our businesses are caused by 80% and vice versa. If we could target those 20% of problems that were causing 80% of the long-term issues in our business, we can really move the needle. Mm. So in 2017, we ran our first Perth Fitness Business Summit. Really successful first year. A lot of people and a lot of the grads from that have now gone on to have extremely successful businesses. This is now our third iteration of this, a pause obviously during COVID, where we just ran a lot of online events. And effectively what it is, it's a one-day summit that we cap at 35 people. And at time of recording, we are about 70% sold, and we opened our ticket sales yesterday. So at the moment, we're about 70% gone. So effectively, it's set up almost like a big boardroom. So we have a big long table where people turn up. They're seated next to people who are in similar spaces. So maybe we have people who are personal trainers, and they'll be sitting at one end of the table. In the middle, we have the people who are micro gym owners, for example. And I will be presenting 12 modules. And those modules range from things like the KPIs in business and how those KPIs are going to help to deliver someone to the life that they're looking for, to what the USP of the business is, identifying avatars, how to market, creating the experience and the journey that your clients will be going on. So a whole range of different strategies. Which are those 20% of problems that cause 80% of the issues in the business? So over a pretty jam-packed day, I will be guiding the attendees through this. They'll be working through a workbook and actually building the business surrounded by people in a similar branch of the business to them. So they will leave at the end of the day with not only a plan of where to go forward, but that plan having been completed.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
That's great. Hey, I've got a couple questions for the start of it, Dan. There's probably two ways about this. Let us know a little bit more about the actual start when you're like, right, I know sounds like you're already kind of coaching. It was like, right, yes. I want to do a summit. And also explain for me a little bit. It sounds like you focus more on this side of things anyway, around the fitness, the personal trainer, the fitness studio, as opposed to the exercise physiologist. Is that right? And do you want to tell us a little bit why you went that angle as opposed to the EP?
Yeah, so I'll answer your first question, which is, where did this initially come from? Mm. It came from the fact that I was seeing these problems. Mm. I was seeing these issues that people had, and not everyone wants to work with someone over the space of a year, over several years. Some people want to just come in and say, right, it's a new financial year coming up. Now is the time. I've been banging my head against the wall for too long. Mm. How many years do I have to give to my business before this business starts to give back to me? Mm. And that's the general feeling that a lot of people have. And it's why the turnover is so high. Yeah. So that's why I started the summit, because I wanted to be able to reach a good number of people in a very short amount of time. And then, of course, as you know, it allows me to leverage content into courses. I can have a team of videographers following me around at these events, and it becomes an online summit as well. So it's a very good way from a content marketing point of view to be able to leverage a lot of the information into multiple different media. In terms of who this is targeted towards, so we've currently sold, as of this morning, I think 24 tickets to the event. Of those 24, six of those would be to exercise physiologists. Now, in terms of the mentoring work I do, I work with people in multiple different industries. I have clients who I mentor who are in hospitality. I have clients I mentor who are building new homes. And even though it's very, very different, and even though there's a very different approach to how you would mentor someone in the housing industry as opposed to the fitness industry, all the common themes are there. There's a common through line. So although this is targeted to fitness professionals, primarily gym owners and personal trainers, exercise physiologists face the same problems in a different shape. And their problems can be solved using the same strategies, but then just that last 5 or 10 can just be slightly different.
Yeah. Awesome. Can you dive into some of those? You've mentioned a couple of times, hey, it's these 20% of things. If you do right, it'll solve 80% of your problems. Can you give us a few of those tips, a couple of the big ones?
I can. I think the biggest issue people have, and if I could wave a magic wand for all of my clients and fix a single issue, when people first come to me because they want to build their business. And that's great, but they want to build their business at the expense of all else. And I think that's completely backwards.
That's great.
I switch that very quickly from help me make my business bigger to how can my business make my life better?
Yeah, that's great.
And that's key. And it's the very first thing that I will do with anyone I mentor. Our very first module at the Perth Fitness Business Summit is around your business and your life direction, and those two things grouped together. So the very first thing is, what do you want life to look like? Now, I'm a dad. I've got a 2-year-old and an almost 4-year-old. So if you do hear screaming in the background here, Jono, I don't have a pack of hyenas. It's two small children, although sometimes I have to actually go and check to make sure that they're not hyenas.
Yeah, I feel that.
I personally, over the last half decade, from the point where my wife and I said, okay, it's time to start a family, I engineered my business to the point that I basically work 3.5 days a week. I never miss swimming lessons. I never miss gymnastics.
Yeah.
I'm reading my eldest, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, in bed every night. I'm there to tuck them in every night. I designed what I wanted life to look like. I have a week off every quarter. I have 2 weeks off every year. I don't work Fridays. I don't work weekends. I have intentionally gone about this.
Yeah.
It needs to start with that. Once you have that, you can put together your KPIs, which is our second module at the summit and the second thing I work on. We work on KPIs and say, what do our key performance indicators, the key metrics in our business? Now, maybe it could be how many personal training sessions you're doing per week. Mm-hmm. What is your hourly rate? How many leads you're getting? What is your retention? Ultimately, what is your profit?
Mm-hmm.
What is your hourly rate? And I'm not talking hourly rate in terms of, oh, I charge $120 an hour as a PT. Well, yes, but you have to get to the gym and then you have to reply to the emails and then you have to do the programming. So what is your true hourly rate from every minute that you work? So I would say the key ones to pick out on, Jono, would be, what do you want your life to look like? What do the business numbers need to be to deliver you to that life? And then what is the difference between where you need to be and where you are currently? And if we can identify the KPIs that have the biggest difference between where you are and where you need to be, we know exactly what to work on. And then it's, what is the unique selling proposition? Who is your target avatar? Because if you know your avatar, we can work out the best way to market to them. And then what is the experience that you are trying to build your clients? Because ultimately, I don't think we're in the fitness industry. I think we're in the hospitality industry. We are not selling lower body fat and bigger biceps and a stronger deadlift and a more powerful clean and jerk. This is not what we are selling. We're not selling the goal that people come to you with. Hey, Johnny, what's your goal? Oh, I want to put 20 kilos on my deadlift. That's what they think they want to do. But what they really want to do is get an experience. And if you deliver an experience to people, if you deliver a journey to people, whether they get that 20 kilos on their deadlift or not, they're going to hang around. If they hang around, it's good for you because financially it helps your business and it's good for them. Because if we get people sticking with something for longer, they're going to be healthier as a result.
That's great. I love that breakdown. I'm taking some notes here. I'll give a summary to the listeners from my take as well. Yeah, I love that organize the life side of things, because I think it's like, here's my take on that. And it took me, you know, a while to kind of realize this as well. Even I was single, no kids for a long time, right? But even
then, those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I look back now, and I'm like, I could have done so much more. But even still, like, I think especially a lot of business coaches out there don't necessarily preach that, especially at the start and especially at the sales side of things, right? It's kind of like, right, you know, what's your goal? If I could teach you make an extra $10,000, would that be good? And like at the start, you think like, yeah, that would be great. I'd love to make an extra 10,000. But then when you break it down, you're like, oh, hold on, to make an extra 10,000, but I need to spend all these extra hours doing this.
It's the opportunity cost.
Yeah, exactly. And when you kind of weigh that up now, it's kind of like, no. You know, if someone came in and they're like, Jono, I'll teach you how to make an extra $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. But you have to miss all those kids' activities and the date night. You know, like they just at the start, I'd be like, yeah, I'm down. But then once I realize that, no chance. Not even close to it. And I understand everyone's different situations, but I think that's very important. So I love it.
I think we have to ask ourselves, what is our business for? And it's probably a good question that all of your listeners could be posed is, what is your business for? And a lot of people can't answer that question. But ultimately, the business is for improving your life in some way.
Yeah.
And if it's not doing that, it's okay. Now, it doesn't need to be improving your life by next Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think it was Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning, and I'll paraphrase, but he said words to the effect of, it's okay to go through suffering as long as there's an optimistic perspective on your suffering. And I love that because I think as soon as we try and move away from all suffering, our life becomes a little purposeless.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be working hard on your business. It's okay to have late nights and little sleep, but it's not sustainable forever. Mm. And one of the big problems I think in the industry is that young people enter the industry thinking that it'll solve the problems they have today. And it does. It will allow a 21-year-old to go out with their mates on weekends and stay up late and watch the footy and go to the beach in the middle of the day. And it solves the problems they have as someone who's living from home, who has their food and cooking and cleaning done for them. It doesn't solve the problems of someone who's moved out with a partner, who's got engaged, who's getting married and spending $80,000 on a wedding and having kids. So people go into the industry thinking it'll solve their future problems, but it just solves the problems of today. We need to have a longer term approach.
Great point. And I think to add on that as well, especially in terms of like, let me think of how to explain this. So say even, I like what you were mentioning earlier, where it's okay for the short term suffering. You know, it might be like, hey, you know, I need to fork out X amount of dollars to go on this conference, which may short-term affect, you know, my financial life. Or I might need to travel to Perth or to the USA or to New Zealand or whatever and miss a week of family time. But that's okay as long as I'm setting myself up for the future, right? To do
that
kind of every single I've got to work till 9 p.m. every night to keep money on the table. That's when it becomes a problem there.
Yeah, I think the ability to delay gratification,
which
I think is a way to sort of put a bow on what you're talking about, is important. The issue is where people take that to the extreme. And as you know, we're in an industry of extremes. People take that to the extreme and they delay the gratification until they retire at 65, which is horrible. And they look back and they say, well, I just gave 4 decades to my job and that's not there anymore. So who am I? What is my identity now?
Agreed. I want to move forward on some of these here. I love how you mentioned the numbers, specifically the hourly rate. That's great because there's a massive difference between, hey, I charge $120 an hour and, hey, I'm making $60,000 a year.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. It's an exercise I take a lot of the owners that I mentor through. And we actually will track our time. I have a document here, a spreadsheet on my to-do list every day. My first task is to track all the time that I spent the previous day. And then at the end of each month, I can say, right, what was my profit? Not revenue, but what was my profit after tax for last month? I divide that by the number of hours I work, and then I go and sob into my pillow for the next hour, and then I get back to it. But it's something that I encourage people to do because we can make metrics boost our ego or we can make them realistic, and it's the realistic metrics that are going to help our business and help our lives.
Yeah, I love that. And then the other two were great. You mentioned the unique selling proposition and the avatar. I think that's good. But once you got those first two in order as well, then it's like, right.
They have to come first.
Yeah, I know what I want, point of difference. And then, experience. I love that as well. That's, I'll tell you a couple of stories there. Right. My background when I was working in the fitness industry was running a boot camp, right? And at the start, I thought it was, oh, I need to get these people results. If I get them results, they come back. And then, you know, the more I kind of worked at it, I put it down to three things. This is in the boot camp space, probably similar in your space as well. I put it down to A, what my relationship is with the client. If I had a really good relationship with that client, the more likely they were to stay. Number two, the relationship of the community, right? I could have an okay relationship with a client, but if they got on great with everyone else there, they were more likely to stay. And then number three, I would refer to it as how much fun they had as the session. Fun's kind of relative, but let's use that for now. And I found if I could hit those three things, whether or not, A, they'd be more likely to achieve that goal anyway, because they would keep coming because they like, you know, my style, they like their friends there, they're having fun there. But even if they didn't, they would stay just for the experience, because it's like, why would I not? I'm coming here and hanging around with these awesome people and having fun. Why would I leave? So I love how you brought that down there.
Yeah, there are two books that I think exemplify this really well. The first is The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath, which talks about how small impactful moments can really drive people's overall experience. And the second, which came out recently and was gifted to me by a business owner I mentor, is a book by Will Gadara called Unreasonable Hospitality. Now, he's a restaurateur, and this is a book that I've bought for a lot of the people that I mentor. And again, I think I mentioned this before, but we're in the hospitality industry, not the fitness industry. And if you can give people that experience, these two books, Unreasonable Hospitality and The Power of Moments, I think are a great place for people to start if they're looking to create this journey and this experience for their clients and members.
Love it. That follows on to my next question. So one of the questions I always like to finish up with then is essentially mentors in a couple of different ways. You're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there. I'd love to know who your biggest mentors have been over the years, and if you could explain it in a few different ways so that the listeners could benefit as well. If you could mention some of your paid mentors, so people that you've done their courses or you've, you know, hired them as a business coach, those kind of people there. If you could mention some unpaid mentors, so people that you haven't paid, but you follow them on social media, you listen to their podcast, you know, those kind of people there. And then some more books that you could recommend, probably more in the business side of things. I know you mentioned some experience books as well, but probably more the business side of things there. So mentors, paid, unpaid, and books.
So the mentor one is an interesting one. And someone asked me this recently. They said, who are your mentors? And beyond mum and dad, I really struggled to answer this. And I think the reason I struggled to answer, and this is a bit of a cop-out, but I think if you have one or two or three people who you see as mentors, you become a carbon copy of those people. And I'm a big believer in being contrarian and zigging when everyone else is zagging. However, I think if you can expand that list of mentors out to a lot of people, you can say, right, I'm taking what I love from person A, and it maybe only be 0.5% of what they do, but person B, they do something else differently. And maybe you read a book and there is a single line in that book and it makes that 300-page book worthwhile. So while I've never had a mentor, I'm a very big believer in sampling widely and taking a lot of very small ideas from a lot of people. So look, in terms of paid mentor, I don't have one. I did a business specialization last year. So I went back to uni via distance, and I did a business specialization from the Wharton School of Business at the University of Penn. So that was paid. That's probably the last paid course that I did. And that, as great as it was and as good as it was to formalize that business education, it confirmed to me the difference between education and learning. And this was education. And very quickly, I found myself slipping into, do I need to study this? Is this going to be in the exam? Which is a horrible way to think about learning. And I didn't want to do it for that reason. So I did this one-year course through the School of Business there, and it was great, and I picked up some stuff, but I just couldn't escape from the year 12, will this be in the exam, sir? Unpaid mentors, this I think is where it is if you sample widely enough. I listen to a lot of podcasts. On my podcast app, I actually had a look at this the other day. I can look back through my history, and it'll tell me all my stats. Told me that since 2018, I've listened to 58 days and 2 hours of podcasts.
Wow.
And I broke that down, and that's basically a year of full-time education. So since 2018, I've spent the equivalent of a year of 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, listening to people talk about business. Now, I don't listen to health, to fitness podcasts. Yeah. It's not what I'm interested in. I'm listening mainly to business podcasts. So in terms of the mentors in this space, and I enjoy how I built this by Guy Raz, because he interviews a lot of people who have been through their journey. Same thing with Masters of Scale by Reid Hoffman would probably be my second recommendation. One of the few podcasts that I will listen to every episode that's released is Nudge by Phil Agnew. So this is talking about the psychology of marketing, behavioral psychology, cognitive psychology. I love Adam Grant's work. So his podcast, Work Life, is a banger. And I really, and this is cliche, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to mention this on your show, but I love the guests and the interviewing style that Tim Ferriss has and the way he will ask questions, and there is no predetermined line through the interviews, and he does get very tactical. So I enjoy those. In terms of the books, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So I'll go for a nice long walk along the river a few times a week because it keeps my head sane. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I'm currently reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but that's probably not the recommendation you were looking for. But more down the business side of things, although Willy Wonka is an amazing business mentor, I would say Company of One by Paul Jarvis would be top of my list. So Company of One really gels with what we were talking about before around building a business that is not bigger for the sake of being bigger, but a business that is better because it gives you what you're looking for in your life. So Company of One by Paul Jarvis, that should be the first one on people's list. The two that I mentioned, Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Goddara and The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath. I'll give you two more, which I know is a bit cheeky, but I can't draw the line below that. The first would be Range by David Epstein. So Epstein talks about the need to sample widely, to explore before you exploit, which is really good advice whether you want to be a pro athlete or a pro business owner. And finally, a book where the entire punchline is given away in the title, and that's So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. Obviously, Cal Newport's got some great stuff out. Deep Work is probably his most famous, but So Good They Can't Ignore You. And he's paraphrasing Steve Martin, the comedian, who when asked, what is the biggest piece of advice that you would give to young comics? He said, be so good they can't ignore you. And I think it's the best piece of marketing advice you can have. You know, do I use Facebook ads? Do I make TikTok videos? Hey, mate, be so good they can't ignore you and your marketing will be done for you.
That's great. There's some awesome tips there. The podcasts, I'd heard very few of them. I know the guy, Raz one, I know Tim Ferriss. So there's new ones for me. That'll be great to check out. And the books as well. You know, I'm a rabid reader myself. I haven't read a lot of those. So I'm excited to check those out. All right, Dan, we'll start to wrap things up. If someone's listening to this and they're like, all right, this guy is cool. I like what he's about. I want to follow him. I want to learn more. I want to attend the summit. Let us know, where do we go to follow you on social? And if we want to attend the summit, where do we go?
Okay, well, I'll give you everything in one place because it makes things easier, right? So I've created a page on the website for your listeners who can go and get all this information you're asking about. And I can drop some book recommendations and stuff in there as well. I don't know whether you'll have those in the show notes, but if people head to rangeofmotion.net.au/FEO, a whole bunch of resources on there. I've actually put a breakdown, a 43-page fitness business assessment that people can take on there as well. And I'll put all the links to all my socials, but people can get me on LinkedIn. If they want to follow me on Instagram, I'm at Dan_Williams_business_mentor. So Dan Williams Business Mentor with the underscores in there. I have an email that people can subscribe to. I'll put the links on that page I mentioned. So rangeofmotion.net.au/FEO. I have a podcast that I host, so people can jump on there. I'll put that on the page as well. So all of those places.
Should have given that as a plug as the podcast to listen to.
No, I thought that'd be pushing my luck.
Easy. Awesome. All right. Well, Dan, that's pretty much all I wanted to get through today. Anything I should have asked but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
No, I thought it was a great chat, Jono. I love all of your back catalog, all the interviews you've done, and it's great to have been a part of it. So thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. All right. I'll leave you to it, Dan.
Thank you, Jono.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, while you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.